Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area to bring you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here, aren't we, J.R.?
We always greatly appreciate you being here, but I have a question, Anthony. You sound kind of mellow today. Are you sad to be back in town, or what's going on?
I had a great time when I was out of town. I think I am just going to leave all the anxiety and anxiousness for you. I think I've got to overly be calm now to kind of balance us out, the yin and the yang.
So just another normal week is what you're saying. So you went
to a wedding, right?
The wedding, it wasn't mine, was it?
It was not. No, you've already had that misfortune 3 times. Yeah, good job.
Yes, but practice makes perfect. So
financial advising, should that be a segment on here? Is why you probably shouldn't get married.
Well, I mean, I'm a giver. I'm a generous soul. I think you should give somebody a home every, 10 or 12 years. So half your 401k. I think I can live adequately on half a pension. So there's a method to my madnesses, my several madnesses. No, I mean, my first marriage wasn't really a marriage. It was trying to get orders in the military. I mean, you can't really call that a marriage. We were dating, so that wasn't a marriage. So let's go with two. We're going to go with two. My second marriage was 100% for love. I mean, I was so in love.
Yeah.
So it only lasted you know how long love lasts? How many licks does it take to the center of a Tootsie Pop? You know how long love lasts? 2 years and 2 months. So that's how long love lasted. And now this one, the one to your mother. If you're a new listener, Anthony is not only my partner on the radio show and my partner in the office, he is also my stepson. I've been in your life since you were, 10 or 11 years of age? Your mom and I just celebrated 20 years this past June. So this one's sticking. Yes.
Jeez.
So, and that concludes our segment on the love life of J.R. Rochford. So, a couple things for today. Today, by the way, is August 1st as we record. It's a Thursday. We have a special guest producer today. Sam, the one and only Sam Davis, where is he? I mean, Italy, France, Rome. Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
That was cheesy, but I liked it.
We have Matt McClure today. You've probably heard this voice. This is a famous voice. Matt, let's hear the voice.
This is the voice. I'm glad to be sharing the voice with you guys.
We're happy you're here.
I'm glad to be here. You know, I mean, Sam, in his many world travels that he's doing here, assigned me the task of trying to keep you guys in line. And, I'm just gonna have fun with it while the cat's away, you know?
Right.
Okay. So day on. Down.
Do whatever we want today.
Just don't tell Sam I told you that.
No, we know that Sam does not listen to the show. Sam works. Sam makes the show perfect, but I'm sure he's never heard it, or he would stop us immediately. So, Matt, Sam told me you worked on the New York Stock Exchange. Is that right?
Yeah. When I was in New York, I worked as a reporter and that was the dayside business anchor for New York One TV. And I was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. We had a position right there on the floor that we would do our business updates from for years. And that was just one of the coolest parts of my career, I feel like, just to be right there in the middle of the action on Wall Street and on crazy days and even on calm days, it was just a cool place to work.
Oh, I'm sure. And
what for me, it was fascinating. That? Was that before you know, all the trading computers and everything going online? Was that still when they were doing the trading on the floor?
Well, some people even still do it that way now. I mean, there's one guy who they call him, you've probably seen his picture. If you've seen a picture of the floor of the stock exchange, I don't even know his real name. They call him Einstein because he looks like Albert Einstein. But he still does, he calls and does trades over the phone and like he's like so super old school. But this was probably, you know, 7 or 8 years ago now. So they were doing most of it on computers and everything then, but there was still a lot of action and flurries of activity. And sometimes there were protests outside when certain companies went public and all that. So it was always, there was never a dull moment.
it seems very like cool. Really exciting.
Yeah, it was really
cool. Well, and when high frequency trading computers came in, when everything started changing, that's really, yeah, I mean, I got here in the late 90s in this job, and it really, there was merit to researching companies, looking at 10Ks, I mean, doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, the game got rigged. We talk all the time on the show about how the Dow Jones Industrial Average is only 30 companies. You know, when one underperforms, they pull it. Most recent example, they took out Walgreens and put in Amazon. So, yeah, there's a lot of, it's very manipulated. Speaking of manipulated markets, today's quite a day. Today on August 1st, the Dow is down, you know, last I looked, it was down about 600 points. So I saw Meta is still flying. You know, a lot of people are comparing this to the tech bubble of 2000. You know what, the tech bubble of 2000 and this, very different in the scope of things, but I don't know. I mean, you know, a day like today, Boeing down 6%. By the way, any of the executives at Boeing, if you're listening, I am not a whistleblower. I think you make the most quality products on the planet. Can't wait to fly in one of your planes. So, the Teflon Dow is having some struggles. We've been waiting, I don't know, about 15 years for some real problem. We had COVID. We had the biggest black swan event in the entire history of the world. And the market went down for the month of March. Anthony, I mean, if you remember correctly, we were out there doing rain presentations and we were talking to people, make sure you know what you have. The market went down very steeply and sharply. And then all of a sudden, April, it was bouncing right back to where it was. You know, yesterday was the big Fed meeting. Powell, who looked like he was definitely reading a script. I mean, it was so funny watching the clips of him. You know, you ask him a question, he has to look down. None of these people in the government can ever just talk without reading scripts or teleprompters. It's absolutely disgusting. Do you know your job? You should be able to tell me about it. You should be able to articulate what you do and why you do it and how you do it. Not these people. So anyway, so big Jerome Powell reading off a script of some sort. I noticed they didn't lower rates yesterday. So, you know, we've got robust employment. Don't worry that every single person has three jobs, DoorDash, Lyft, Uber Eats. I'm looking at you all. So he didn't, why didn't rates get lowered yesterday? I thought we were nearing the target inflationary numbers. I thought the economy was sound. Why didn't you lower rates? You know, you're paying 3/4 of every tax dollar that comes in just on the interest of the $35 trillion of debt. Why didn't you lower rates? I think maybe because it's not close enough to the election. You know, I hate to put on the old tinfoil hat, but for Pete's sake, you know, they're still talking about a September rate cut. So in other current news, you heard this morning, I'm sure both of you, that we did a big prisoner swap. We traded, I don't know, I think it's 6 US people. I think we finally got Brittany Griner back. Oh, wait, no, we got her before. We got the Marine back, though. No, don't make light of it. You know, I'm glad that we got our people back. The one thing when I was poking into this morning, trying to figure this whole thing out, what were the terms of this deal? The little bit that I could glean, I heard that what Russia got was like 10 different people back. And the people, like a Russian hacker, you know, this killer for hire. I guess they got some pretty prominent figures back for the deal. Again, nearing into the election, you know, I loved hearing Biden talk about, you know, what a hero he is for getting this done. I'm not sure anybody buys that anymore. I mean, I think that he's behind the scenes more than he is in front. One last thing on current events. As you know, it's basically everything going on is super quiet. Is that fair to say? It's like the calm before the storm. Everything's quiet. We had J.D. Vance here in Arizona yesterday. You know, there's a lot going on, but it's all very quiet. So I just spent most of the last 2 weeks up in Snowflake, Arizona, up in the White Mountains. And it's funny because up there, it's flip-flopped. Down here, you know, people were rushed and rude and the traffic's bad and there's a lot of nervousness. Up there, people were super calm. This last couple of weeks, my observation had flip-flopped. I had several conversations with people that they're like, this is not going to end well. They're talking about how to keep people contained in the city and not come up through the rim and not come up through Globe in Miami. It was just a little bit different. You know, we've been going up there for 9 years now. And this was the first time I ever had conversations where people were talking about they may have to fight as soon as this fall. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, I think everything's super quiet. I mentioned last week that we might want to take a couple moments and go over my prepping 101 list. So Matt, I know we've seen you before on some of the radio masterminds, but we've never gotten to chat with you. You may not want to come back next week after we get into this a little bit. And I understand that if you want to bow out. So basically, our whole goal on this show, our motto, if you will, we want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. So everybody that I talked to, you know, these last couple of weeks up in the White Mountains, they are prepared. They're, and I shouldn't say they're scared. I mean, you know, when I say that they're nervous meaning they don't think we can avoid problems around the election time. And then you couple that with the debt and the housing market is out of reach for people. You look at people's 401k, doesn't matter what happens, 401k bounces right back and goes up. So they are, it seems like, completely on the same page with me that there's too much that doesn't make sense. You know, Anthony, you've said since you've been in the office, which is over 6 years now, you know, there's always something to worry about. And I've never disagreed. I always add there's never been this many things to worry about. So 6 years have gone by since you came in the office. You got there the week after the 4th of July, 6 years ago, and you have been 100% right. Nothing to worry about. You made it through COVID, you know, back to my not being a whistleblower. Planes have fallen out of the sky. I mean, a lot has happened over the last 6 years, and yet the markets are okay. Everybody's happy. Restaurants are full. So it seems to me like all we've done was gotten 6 years closer to things cycling. That's how life works. I mean, life cycles. If you're having a good day, don't get too cocky. Tomorrow's not going to be as good. You know, if you're having a really bad day, hang in there. Tomorrow's going to be better. That's just how it works. You know, with the financial markets, with the quiet peace in the streets, I'm not sure when the cycle gets here that it doesn't all kind of come at once. You know, obviously, when we talk about interest rates and, you know, the Fed is in a no-win situation. They, you know, we're teetering between recession and I would say depression and hyperinflation. Those are two bad sides. Right now, we're walking this tightrope. So I can't wait to see what happens, you know, with our government and how they handle money. We're going to get to a little Janet Yellen later if we have time. You know, I always love, you know, bringing up what she's out there saying, a little cartoon with legs. So back to my Prepper 101 list. I don't want to scare people away, but I want you to know, if you come in our office and you want traditional financial planning, if you want to talk about legacy and inheritance needs for your family, if you have an old 401k that's just sitting there and you're not sure what your allocation should be, should it be an IRA? Should you pull money out? What should you do? If you need lifetime income planning, that we're a huge fan of making sure you have your own pension. We're a huge fan of laddering money out. We do all the normal stuff. Roth conversion. Anthony is an engineer by trade. He left a perfectly good job in engineering to join the practice. So he's smart. So you want storytelling, big picture, you sit with me. You want somebody who's smart and analytical and financial, you sit with Anthony. You want good cop, bad cop? Guess what? We sit together with you. Anyway, Anthony, one of the things I've seen him do is take people's mutual funds, take their statements, and back test and basically look at their funds and say, if we have another 2008, this is how this fund should fare. That's going to be really important sooner or later. So I actually think the clock's ticking, it maybe sooner. So we do all the normal stuff is what I'm getting at. But you know what else we add? What if you love this show? What if this show resonates with you and you think, yeah, these guys are financial advisors. Anthony's been there 6 years. Jared's been there for 26 years. So they've got experience. They've got one of them that's smart. So, but what if you agree that not everything is as it appears, something is amiss, things could go south. We also can do planning for you for the end of the world. A lot of advisors, we're all taught the same things. We do the same CE, you know, we do the same anti-money laundering. If you show up at our office with a briefcase with $1 million in it, you know, that's a red flag. We're going to have to say something to our compliance department. We all do the same training. One thing that we're all taught, financial planning is simple. It's based, number one, on your date of birth. So, you know, the rule of 100. Anthony, remember that when you first learned? They simplify our job down to the very basics. Take the number 100, subtract your age, boom, you're a financial planner. We can tell you exactly how much risk to take. If you're 80, we're going to put 20% for growth, 80% for safety. You still need that 20% for growth because you have to hedge inflation, which there is none of, luckily anymore. Jerome Powell, if you're listening, hey, Jerry, there's no inflation, so we're good. So if you're 20, you should have 20% safe. You should have 80% at risk or for growth or whatever you want to call it. Why, if you're 20, would you have 20% safe? Why? Well, because diversification. You hedge your bets. You do certain things. So there's rules. After your date of birth, we look at your income. We look at your assets. We look at your risk tolerance. Nobody knows the risk tolerance, by the way. Some I've learned over my 26 years. Nobody knows it. When things are going up year after year, we're all an 8, 9, or a 10. But in 2007, 8, beginning of 09, we all puckered up. We all became a 2 or a 3 on the old scale of 1 to 10 on risk. But if you don't know it, we can help you figure it out. Anthony has cool little charts and graphs, and he can ask you questions and say, here's your risk tolerance. So the the thing that financial advisors, brokers, planners, bankers, anybody in the financial services arena, you know what we're not taught? To add the world around you. I decided, because I've been nervous, ramping up slowly with my nervousness over 2 decades, I have added the world around us. I look at history. I look at other countries. Speaking to you, Venezuela, right now, are you watching Venezuela? Did you see the elections, Anthony, with Maduro? He's still going to be the president. Apparently, it was pretty shaky. The U.S. is coming in saying that, you know, we don't like how the election results. Are you serious, U.S.? Don't you have enough on your plate? You know, I mean, we're not.
We fixed elections. It's fine.
Yes.
We've our got elections it right.
Smooth here. And by the way, you want to see what could happen in November? I'm not saying it's going to. I'm saying I think it is. Look at Leeds. Brought that up last week. This week, the example this week, look at Venezuela. There's a whole bunch of fires and beatings and all kinds of stuff going on in Venezuela right now. So back to the end of the world. We think if you sit in our office, you should at least understand certain things. You know, I mean, we the number one, when people come in, they want to know if they should buy gold and silver. My answer is generally the same. Everything in life should be dictated by moderation. It should be appropriate for you. If you have $1 million, see how I just put my little finger by my lip like I'm, what is his name? I'm drawing a complete mic. Dr. Evil. Yes, if you have $1 million,
wait,
should
before
you
we
have...
go, did I tell you that I bought some of the original storyboard art from that movie?
No kidding. Where'd you get that?
I saw it on an auction, and I probably had a couple drinks in me, and I decided that hard assets were, a smart purchase. So I bought some of the storyboard art from when they're escaping from the sharks with laser beams on their head.
Okay. And so you know we're on AM radio, right? You know we're on 960 The Patriot on Saturdays at noon, and then they replay us Sundays at 1, right? So
and also on podcasts, wherever you like and subscribe, we're also there too.
And you can come in and see us. We're conveniently located on 98th Avenue and Bell. Come in and see us and sit down with us. So you brought storyboard art. I heard of something about laser beams and sharks. You know what's hilarious? Two things hit me when I hear that. One, you can tell who's not married, never had kids. You can spend your money on whatever you want. You know what I bought?
Groceries?
Bread. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I learned bread and circuses. I did. So I made sure Sandy's belly's full of the grains so she doesn't have an uprising again in our marriage. So, the second observation, I love how you had full disclosure, which is another thing financial advisors are supposed to do. And you said you had a couple drinks in you. It seems to me like you have always bought bizarre things when you've had a couple of cocktails. When we bought a tower garden, quick plug for Marcy, we still have a friend that sells tower gardens. If you want indoor hydroponics, takes the space of like a water cooler. So you one night, apparently you had a couple of cocktails and didn't you order like thousands of seeds? You ordered peppers and all kinds of different lettuces.
Well, I mean, we're trying to prepare, right? That's going to be your whole next spiel is how we should prepare. So what good does it do me if I have a tower garden but no seeds or anything to grow in it? So I got prepared.
My point to that little part, and you're right, that was a bad example because that does make me over. It was the excessive nature of the seeds. I mean,
I got excited. It was just cool. I was like, I'm
the seed company had an IPO the following week after we launched a new business. And I know this is going to throw you under the bus, and I apologize in advance, but didn't you buy a piece of a brain? I can't even say that.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but I wasn't able to take care of it. Now it's dead, just like my actual brain. No, like it was in a pen. It was like a piece of brain, and it was in a pen. But you have to like keep the alcohol in there or, you know, whatever it is, the embalming, whatever. I didn't know how to add it in there. So it all dissipated and then shriveled up. I forgot about that. I just found it again recently. I think it's on my shelf.
We just lost half of our audience. Can you bring it in the office? And then if that's any motivation for the weird sickos, if they want to come in and sign an application using a brain pen, then Anthony's your guy. All right. Back to the end of the world. That was fun, but back to the end of the world. So, and by the way, so now you know about my marital bliss. You know, Anthony buys weird stuff when he's had a couple of cocktails. Anything else of a personal nature we need to get to today? So back to my list. We think that you should do a few things. We think that you should pay down debt. And this is back to the $1 million in the office. You should pay down debt. You should buy hard assets. So perhaps gold and silver. You know, we'll talk to you. We'll help you figure it out. But should you, you know, buy $500,000 because the, you know, fiat currency is dead. We're going to lose the world reserve currency. BRICS is taking over. We have $35 trillion in debt. No, you should not. You should not. Maybe $50,000. I don't know. Maybe in an extreme case, $100,000. I don't know. You should hedge your bets. We can help you figure that out. But there's a few other things that we want you aware of. And this is good advice, like the old Boy Scout thing. If you haven't, you don't need it. So what? But if you haven't, you don't need it. So what? If you need it and you don't have it, you have a big problem. So with the great toilet paper shortage of what was it? 2020, you couldn't get toilet paper. To me, that was just bizarre. We had a respiratory illness. So make sure you stock up on toilet paper. So one of the things that I say to people, I have an entire list. Some of it may be a good fit for people. Some may not. Let me read a few. You may want to have a generator, you know, and I'm not talking, you know, spend 20 grand into a Generac whole house generator. We don't live in a place like Florida where they have hurricanes. You know, our monsoon season is very amateur. Mother Nature, step up your game. So, but you may want to have a solar generator. Just in case we have some sort of a solar flare. Let's not even say it, high altitude EMP. Let's not say Russia's going to nuke us. Let's just say there was a storm and we had no power for a day or two. How do you keep your refrigerator going? How do you keep your cell phone charged? If you're in Phoenix it's supposed to be like 114 degrees on Saturday. That's pretty warm. You know, you can take towels, get them wet, put them around your neck, and that, you know, gets you a little cooler. It'd be awfully nice to have a solar generator where you can plug in a couple fans too, just thinking. So we can help you with how to shop for those. We can help you with what kinds. We would steer you clear of a gas generator because of the noise. And if we really did have a, you know, what hits the fan scenario, you don't want to be a target. So solar is quieter. You know, you can have it inside at night so you can power things up without having gas in your home. And you don't have to store 5-gallon containers of AV fuel. So let me give you a couple other things. You should probably have something called a water bob, which is a water bladder that you can put in your bathtub. If you have two bathtubs, I would get two of them. They're under $30 each. And if there's any kind of disruption with the water system, you can have some water to last you a week or two in your bathtubs. So yeah, let me keep going. You should have some extra food and water. You should have some 5-gallon containers of water. You should have some cases of water from Sam's Club or Costco or whatnot. You should probably have some extra food. You know, get a variety. Get MREs if you're a veteran or you just think it's cool. Get number 10 cans. Get those white buckets from Costco with the red lids, 72-hour buckets. You know, get some freeze-dried food. Maybe even some astronaut food like ice cream. I want to do a little more off this list, but I think we're running dangerously close to break time. Is that possible already?
Looks like it.
Oh, boy, this went fast. So let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back, give you a few more items on the list. And then I want to get to the financial stuff. I want to get to the articles. And if we have time, I want to get to my very favorite cartoon, Janet Yellen. So you can find us by reaching out to 623-523-0444. Again, 623-523-0444. Or email us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Again, that's team@anothermoneyshow.com. You can go to our website. You can go to anothermoneyshow.com. You can go to rochfordfinancial.com. We're easy to find. And as Anthony said, anywhere you find podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, whatever you use, we're there. We have a YouTube channel. We've got Shelby, who's working on the channel fast and furiously to get that thing moving. We need new likes and subscribers and all that because we're little tiny fish and we're trying to grow. So with that said, we will be back in just a minute. Thank you as always for being here. We greatly appreciate you.
Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Another Money Show on 960 The Patriot with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. And J.R. is going on his list on the end of the world doomsday preparedness. That's what you missed.
That's what you missed if you missed the first half. But you can catch us again tomorrow. We're going to re-air this episode tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on 960 The Patriot. So back to my list. I'm going to buzz through a little bit faster because we need to have, and I'm going to skip some items on purpose. We need to have some incentive for you to call in. Give us your email address. We're not going to solicit you. We're not going to load you up with our daily newsletter. We will send you this list. We'll email it to you. Come in the office and get one. We'd love to meet you. Little shout out. We had a listener emailed last week. I don't know if it's Eliza or Elizabeth. I'll just say the first name. Very kind words saying that she caught the show on Sunday and she enjoyed it. So apparently it resonated with her. And you letting us know that means the world to us. If we can ever help you, we'll be honored. If not, just knowing that you're there makes us feel good. So thank you so much for reaching out. Back to the list. And again, if you want a copy, we'll be glad to get this over to you. So food and water are the obvious two. Couple other ones. You may need to have a radio. You know, if we don't have electricity, you might want a hand crank radio. You might want to go more serious with the end of the world and start looking into ham radios, Baofeng radios, that sort of thing. You know, we can get you enough guidance to explain to you repeaters and how to talk to people. So you should have flashlights, maybe some candles, matches, medicine. If you take prescriptions, you need to talk to your doctor. You need to say that you need to be, you know, stocked up a little bit. I know sometimes that's hard to get out of a doctor, so you might have to go to Mexico or go to a Canadian pharmacy, but make sure you have a supply of your medicine. So when the great toilet paper shortage happened, it made me, I added a new thing. I bought a camping stool. It's basically like a commode that you take camping. And, you know, I mean, if we didn't have water, you know, if there's problems in that area, I'll still be able to have a nice restroom. Obviously, you need lots of toilet paper and paper towels. So you need some cash. We've been warning people about the bank solvency for years and years and years. I won't get into it today, but I'll just give you enough to know. Go to FDIC.gov, look up DIF, which is the Depositor Insurance Fund, then find your way around using the search key and look for statistics at a glance. The FDIC coverage on your covered accounts, meaning less than $250,000, 1.17%. 98% of your money is going to, they're going to say, bad, you know, don't worry. When we have a bail-in, a bank holiday, when they close the doors, don't worry. You know, it's safe, but we will have to give it to you slowly. So make sure you have cash. You know, one of my very favorite things to bring up to people, alcohol and tobacco. And Anthony, I'm guessing that I've never seen you smoke, so I don't think you have tobacco. It's not so you start smoking, it's for barter. So, but alcohol, I guess you're okay. I mean, for Pete's sake, you're buying stuff. You're buying.
Actually, I do have a pack of cigarettes because I found a bar downtown that sells them still in the those dispensers.
No way.
I'm seeing as a Pomeroy's. It's like on Camelback and something. Yeah. So I bought one. So I've got one souvenir to trade one day.
Wow. Is it like the old, like big knob you pull out in a pack of cigarette balls?
Like the one they used to have at Mr. Lucky's.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. In those days, I used to smoke. I quit smoking on Christmas Day, 1999. There's more personal information. I'm an ex-smoker. So I quit in 99. Part of why I quit, I mean, I was, you know, when I was getting a divorce, I got divorced in 99 from the love marriage. And the more she harped on me to quit smoking, you knew I smoked when you met me. And then after we got married, all of a sudden you didn't like that I was a smoker. It's like, okay. It was Christmas Day. I had a cold or the flu, so it didn't feel right to smoke. And you know what? My big deciding factor to quit smoking, cigarettes were up to $1 a pack. And I was like, who on earth would spend $1 for a pack of cigarettes? Anthony, what did you just pay for a dispenser?
I think I spent $10.
Man, that's amazing. 10 times. I could have gotten a carton for that. Anyway, so cigarettes, alcohol, tobacco. It's you know, don't have big parties. Keep it for barter. The alcohol, don't go to Sam's Club or Costco and try to save money. What are you going to do? Get little shot glasses and pour shots if you want to buy them. Go to, Total Wine and More or BevMo and buy the little airplane bottles. Not going to bring up Boeing again. So buy the little bottles, get all the major food groups, get whiskey, tequila, vodka, rum. So make sure you have that under your bed. Keep it dry. It'll be good for barter. Have maybe the number one most important thing, if you're trained and you're open to the idea, have guns and ammo, or at least have friends that have guns and ammo. If things get really weird in this country, the number one thing you're going to want to have, a team. You're going to want to have friends. You're not going to want to be alone, whether it's your family or your neighbors or coworkers. You need to have a plan. All of you should gather at one person's house if things get really weird. I mean, if we have another summer of love, you know, I mean, if cities are burning, but it starts getting out of control, you're not going to want to be isolated. So it'd be handy if one of those people were a nurse. In my world, as a short, heavyset man, I want one to be a chef or a cook. So, well, I'll leave the list there, but use your imagination. Make sure you've got things covered just in case things get weird. And again, we want you proactive, not reactive. If this resonates with you, do it now. Don't wait until things get weird and try to run out and grab stuff. All right, moving on. You know, back to traditional financial planning. I talked about the rule of 80, which is probably the most simple rule in financial planning. The problem with it, it doesn't take into consideration the world around you, as we try to bring to the table. The other thing is, every single person is different. My father, when you know, I worked alongside my father for 11 years, 26 years older than me, and he was way more risk tolerant than I am. I mean, he was into stocks and bonds, and I was buying fixed annuities in the early 2000s. Actually, I'm embarrassed to say I had a couple of variable annuities. I had the old MetLife PPA variable annuities. I since got rid of those bad boys. But I mean, it was like, I didn't want to lose money. I didn't want to lose money. What do I do now? I go to the casino and play Pai Gow poker pretty often. Now I want to lose money though. There's a difference. You know, I think the fiat currency is dead, so I might as well give it to the casino. Anyway, the other thing, the other financial planning thing I want to bring up real quick, I did listen to a financial show over the weekend. You know, I do that a lot to make sure, you know, I'm still keeping up with what other people are saying. The shows I hear, maybe I'm just finding the wrong ones, they are 60-minute infomercials. It's 100% sales. You know what? So are we. Everybody who's a financial advisor is in sales. If we don't have new clients, we're not going to be there. You can be the most honest advisor on the planet. If you don't make sales, you're going to be a mortgage broker soon, or you're going to work for Lyft and Uber and DoorDash soon. You know, we know what you do. The one I listened to, I only caught one last weekend because I was up north. It was really kind of, it was weird. It was like one of these, they opened up windows where if you call in now, you get a complimentary consultation, no obligation. Well, what if I call 6 minutes after that window closes? How much is it going to cost me? Like $2,000? I mean, everything you're saying, it's really, really valuable stuff. So what's it going to cost me if I miss the free opportunity window? Come on. The other thing, they brought up the one of my pet peeves, the retirement red zone. They're talking to people that are 5 years in advance through 5 years after retirement date. The retirement red zone. What, you know, let me tell you something. Looking at history, a couple things. What if you retired in January or February of 2000? The tech bubble may have made a significant impact on your retirement red zone. What if you retired in, say, October of 2007? So there's key dates that have changed your red zone dramatically. You know, my thinking, your retirement red zone, when did you get your first job? 16, 17, 18? That's when it starts. Your entire life is your retirement red zone. There's no magic 5 years around your retirement. You know, yes, you're gearing up for lifetime income. What's your plan if you retire at 57 and you've got to make it to 65 to get to Medicare? You know, you have to be careful with all those things, but no kidding. We know that. So retirement red zone, give me a break. It's your entire life, depending on your age, the world around you, your income, your taxes, all that stuff. That's your retirement red zone. So anyway, back to our show. So normalcy bias. I had a couple conversations over this past couple weeks with people up in Snowflake because they were like, why don't people see it? You know, how come we see it? How come we all, you know, we don't have to convince each other. We already know things are amiss. Why don't other people see that things are wrong? I got to educate a handful of people about normalcy bias. And I know, Anthony, you love being read to. So let me read to you just the quick Wikipedia version of normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is a cognitive bias which leads people to disbelieve or minimize threat warnings. Consequently, individuals underestimate the likelihood of a disaster, when it might affect them, and its potential adverse effects. The normalcy bias causes many people to not adequately prepare for natural disasters, market crashes, and calamities caused by human error. I would say spot on. If it's more comfortable to turn on the TV and watch The Masked Singer than it is to look for YouTube videos on the leader of Hamas being taken out and what ramifications that could lead to. It's a lot more comfortable to put your head in the sand, the ostrich effect. It's not comfortable to picture $35 trillion in debt, a political division in this country that's disgusting. It's not pleasant to think about the fact that we have completely open borders. We've got problems with Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, healthcare borders, you name it. It's all messed up. That's not a pleasant thought. Anthony, you have to fix it. Your generation needs to wake up. You need to become educated voters. You need to start working on changing things and getting our country back on track, or it really is bread and circuses. We really are going the way of Rome, whether that's too extreme for people to think about or not. We really are going that way. So normalcy bias is how I explain what's going on to people, and it seems to make sense. Should we get to articles?
Go for it.
All right, I'm going to buzz through them today. I found a whole string of banking articles. So I thought, let's focus on our favorite subject, the banks. My favorite subject is Janet Yellen. My number two favorite subject is the banks. So here's one from MoneyWise on the 26th of July. It's just a nightmare. This is the title. More and more USAA members who lost thousands of dollars are sharing their stories of fraud, say they've now lost trust in the bank. We talk a lot about Wells Fargo. That's probably the number one we talk about with lawsuits and class action lawsuits. Number two, we talk about Chase because of the felonies and Jamie Dimon, who is potentially going to replace Janet Yellen. So, and he's not a cartoon. He's going to be a harder one to wrap my mind around. So, but USAA is one that's, you know, you picture squeaky clean, but USAA, they grew. I mean, they were, you know, just for the military or the kids of the military or whatnot. And all of a sudden it was like, you know, they opened up to the American Legion and anybody who's a member. So they boomed. So, and they got a bank, and unfortunately there's some problems over there and they don't make it to the radar as much as the other banks. But just so you know, I don't think you're safe anywhere. So I'll just read a little bit of this article and we'll move on. Curtis Murrah said he's been a loyal customer with USAA for 28 years until his wife rang him up one day and said she couldn't make their mortgage payment because there wasn't any money in their account. Murrah contacted USAA and convinced the institution to conduct an investigation, but USAA allegedly told him there was no evidence of fraud, despite a $14,174 loss across two of his accounts, including his emergency savings. Then the bank unexpectedly closed his account. That's awesome. That is awesome. So the transactions were taking place in totally different states. They could see everything, Murrah said. They knew it wasn't me, but for some reason they said it wasn't fraud. So there's the highlight. USAA has a history of complaints, fines, and security breaches. According to the Better Business Bureau, there have been 4,122 total complaints against USAA in the last 3 years. That's pretty good. I mean, over 1,000 a year. That's. I mean, you're no Wells Fargo. Those are amateur numbers compared to Wells Fargo. But that's pretty good. You're climbing. To use an Olympics example, you're in third place now. So in April, a federal grand jury in Louisiana indicted 21 people involved with stealing nearly $7 million for USAA customers, particularly the accounts of older individuals with high bank balances. That's always that's where we key in. Being in Sun City for so long, we can't stand it when people take advantage of the retirees. So pretty sad, but that's usually where it's concentrated. One last thing. In response to the reports of fraudulent activity, a USAA spokesperson told News 4 San Antonio, bank fraud is an unfortunate reality for financial institutions around the world, and USAA remains committed to fighting fraud and protecting our members. Well, how did you protect the Murrahs? You told them it wasn't fraud and you closed their account. Good job. I feel much more protected over at USAA. Moving on. Daily HODL. I got a whole string off the Daily HODL this week. This one's from the 28th of July. $2,393,288 drained from a customer's bank account as insider falsifies records and transfers funds to herself and her family. So a U.S., right? This world, talk about insane, horrible world. a U.S. banker has admitted to stealing millions of dollars from customers' accounts in a 15-year-long scheme. You couldn't catch this person over 15 years? Seriously? Jeez. Targeting customers who knew and trusted her, Dougherty transferred small amounts of money from their accounts into her savings account and later on to her checking account. She shifted some of the stolen funds to the checking accounts of family members. She also kept a rotation of customer accounts to steal from and would take money from one account to reimburse another. To keep the theft under wraps, Dougherty faked the descriptions of the transfers in the bank computer system. Here's the good news. I'll read the last line. Dougherty is now facing a maximum sentence of 30 years behind bars without parole. She must also forfeit her stake in 9 parcels of land in Howard County. Along with a judgment of $2.393 million. Good. Put this woman away. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous, and people can't trust financial people. Moving on, the Daily HODL from the 26th of July, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America refused to reimburse $880 million to customers accused of repeated, relentless failure to protect victims of fraud. Let's see if I need to read any of this. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, how much of that is on them, though? Well, like, I love bashing these banks, but people are victims of fraud for their own choice a lot of times.
I get it. I mean, if you're not watching your accounts, I mean, if you're not aware of things until your statement comes out, maybe that's a problem. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's shared responsibility. What I don't like is when the banks decide to close your account, when they decide that, you know, if there are fraud protections and they won't help you with them, that's a problem. This article is centered around Zelle, by the way. The Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations says J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and B of A collectively refused to reimburse $808 million in Zelle transactions that customers reported as fraud between 21 and 23. So, I mean, over $750 million in fraudulent transactions in 2 years on Zelle. Wow. Specifically, the banks refused to reimburse $320 million to customers who were hit by unauthorized transactions and rejected an additional $560 million in reimbursement to customers who were tricked into authorizing an illicit transaction. So, Anthony, that's where you're correct. So, I mean, but we've had clients that were relatively intelligent people. And there was a con game and they got sucked in.
No, we've mentioned that on the show before, is have a sounding board. If a transaction isn't something normal that you're used to and seems off, talk to somebody, ask questions.
But they're embarrassed. They're scared. They don't know what to do. They don't want people to know that they messed
up. It's more embarrassing to lose money like that. So
I guess not. Yeah. I mean, I guess not. I mean, we got to see it. People don't want anybody to know. We had one client who lost a lot of money, and I went to his attorney. I thought this guy and I were pretty good friends. I knew him from years before he became a client. I tried to protect him. You were new in the office. You tried to protect him, too. I even went to his attorney, who was a mutual friend. We used to do networking together. I mean, there was no, and I didn't give specifics. I didn't give his financial information. I said she needed to reach out to him to help him. He's in deep trouble. He got so mad at me. He's like, you don't go behind my back and tell people my business. I'm like, I didn't tell you your business. I just told this woman she needs to help you. She needs to reach out to you and get involved in your life right now. So it didn't go well for me in that case. And I was trying to help. So he was clearly embarrassed and felt bad about things and dumb. So let's do another Daily HODL. 27th of July, 7,640,112 customers hit by massive bank breach, exposing names, social security numbers, locations, and bank account numbers. A U.S. bank says more than 7 million people are affected by a major hack and data breach that's impacting multiple financial firms and their customers. So I'm not familiar with this bank. The hack, which was carried out by an infamous Russian-linked group known as Lockbit, has also impacted several financial firms that have worked with the bank. A firm which has 18 million customers of its own, believes the personal information of its Affirm card users was compromised in the hack. In addition, Wise, Built, Marqeta, Mercury, and Earnin have all been confirmed their customers' information was stolen or breached. I'm not familiar with these banks. They must be like the fintech or something. One more here. Evolve Bank and Trust's system was accessed after an employee clicked on a malicious link in late May. So if any of those names ring a bell, you might already be aware of this. If you're not, you're going to be. So keep your ears open. Moving on, the Daily HODL. This one is on the 28th of July. JP Morgan Chase issues warning to investors as U.S. national debt hits 34,997,540,505,103. So basically, this came out right before we tipped to $35 trillion in debt. Says here, according to new data from the Treasury, the total outstanding public debt is around $34.99 trillion as of July 25th. That's up from $32 trillion just 1 year ago. In a new memo to investors from its private banking arm, JP Morgan analysts say there are underlying risks associated with America's ballooning deficits and high sovereign debt levels. And according to the bank, investors shouldn't expect any significant improvements in America's fiscal outlook anytime soon. All right, couple things. The reason that I like this article. So the bank, we tell people, be very, very careful. Stocks, bonds, and banks. You're telling me all these years have gone by and now JP Morgan Chase is sounding the alarm? Well, wait a minute. Isn't Jamie Dimon potentially the new Treasury Secretary? Isn't Jamie Dimon, in our estimation, likely to be part of the new central bank digital currency rollout? So everything's starting to line up. So now all of a sudden, JP Morgan is going to start sounding alarms that the debt's problematic. Good. And then you can ride in and help us. You can help us get to safety if we tip. All right. One last thing.
You got to remember who came out on top in 2008, 9, 10, and all of those. And it wasn't normal, everyday people. You know, we bailed out these banks so that they could come back and buy up all these assets that were cheap as everybody else suffered. So I mean, you say it all the time on the show, be prepared. But that's the key is if there is an opportunity, a great buying opportunity, you want to be the one buying, not trying to sell off things to survive. So this bank will get through regardless. It'll be just fine. But we want you to have that same strategy that they are.
Yes, maybe on a smaller scale, because, you know, if you can have trillions in derivatives, you're probably a bigger player than Anthony or JR or Matt McClure. So, and I'll just read the title of the last article. And then I think we have to wrap it up for the day. JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo quietly brace for customers' financial fallout amid increasing economic uncertainty. The article goes on to talk about, you know, what kind of credit card balances there are and how problematic it's becoming. So have you noticed all these articles address JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo? If you want to know more about why we think you should be careful with the banks, we think you should be careful with stocks and bonds, let us know. Reach out to us. We'll be glad to help. We'll send you our Prep 101 list. We're here to help in any way we can. So I'm going to end it there. I really feel bad that I didn't get to Janet Yellen stuff today, but you know, I will be back next week, so I'll have a new opportunity to do so. Anything else for us today, Anthony, or do you want to start taking us out?
That's all I got. So that's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, have questions on any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal financial situation, you can reach us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web at anothermoneyshow.com. You can book appointments with us straight from there. There's a contact page. Remember, if you want to reach out and sit with us, there are no minimums. There are no costs for appointments, and there's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed indexed annuities can help protect your retirement savings against market ups and downs. Nationwide's Peak 10 can help protect against market risk and provide guaranteed income for life. Peak 10 also has an optional rider that offers an immediate 20% bonus based on your principal applied to your income benefit base. Call us now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444 to connect with a qualified advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Guarantees and protections referenced within are subject to the claims-paying ability of Nationwide Life and Annuity Insurance Company. Nationwide Peak 10 is issued by Nationwide Life and Annuity Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio. Neither Nationwide nor its other entities are associated or affiliated with Brookstone Capital Management, LLC.
Got questions? Call Rochford & Associates now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.